Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 58, Insider Threats. Alice, we've spent most of this series talking about attackers on the outside trying to get in. Now we're talking about the people who are already inside.
Right. And that's what makes insider threats fundamentally different from everything else we've discussed. An external attacker has to find a vulnerability, exploit it, and establish a foothold. An insider already has a valid account. They know the system layout. They pass every perimeter security check by design, because the system was built to let them in.
So when we say insider threats, we're talking about employees going rogue.
That's one category, but there are actually three. The first is the malicious insider, someone who deliberately steals data, sabotages systems, or sells access. The second is the negligent insider, someone who accidentally causes harm through carelessness. A developer who runs a production database query out of curiosity, or an employee who emails client files to their personal account for convenience. The third is the compromised insider, someone whose credentials have been stolen through phishing or malware. The attacker is external, but they're operating through a legitimate user's account.
Right. And I'd imagine in legal tech, the data that insiders have access to is particularly sensitive.
That's the problem. Legal SaaS platforms hold client communications, litigation strategy, settlement positions, privileged legal advice. If an insider at a regular SaaS company steals customer data, it's a breach. If an insider at a legal tech company steals client data, it's a breach of legal professional privilege. The downstream consequences, lost cases, waived privilege, malpractice exposure, go far beyond the data itself.
Can you give me a real example?
The most dramatic one is the Panama Papers. In 2016, someone leaked 11.5 million documents, 2.5 terabytes of data, from Mossack Fonseca, a Panamanian offshore law firm. Client files going back decades. The firm said it was hacked from outside. Security researchers pointed out that the sheer volume and structure of the data looked more like insider access or insider-assisted exfiltration. Either way, the firm's security was catastrophically inadequate. They had government-grade remote access trojans on their client portal. The firm closed 2 years later.
Yeah, that's the law firm that literally ceased to exist because of a data breach.
And it's not just large-scale espionage. In 2024, a man in Houston was charged with insider trading after stealing M&A information from his wife, who was an attorney at a major firm. He accessed documents from her home office. Not by hacking anything, just by walking into the room. That case shows that insider threats in legal contexts extend to anyone with physical access to work materials, not just the firm's own employees.
So how do you defend against this? You can't exactly revoke access from someone who needs it to do their job.
You defend in layers. The first layer is what we covered last episode, least privilege. Every person starts with the minimum access their specific role requires. A support agent answering billing questions doesn't need access to case documents. A front-end developer doesn't need production database credentials. You build walls between the data people need and the data they don't.
Right. But even with least privilege, some people genuinely need access to sensitive data. The lawyers, the matter teams.
They do. And that's where behavioral monitoring comes in. You can't prevent a lawyer from reading case files they're assigned to. That's their job. But you can detect when their access patterns change in ways that don't match normal work. If someone who usually accesses 10 documents a day suddenly downloads 500 in an hour, that's a signal. If someone who works 9 to 6 is accessing files at 2 in the morning, that's a signal. If someone who normally works in one practice area starts browsing cases across every department, that's a signal.
So you're not blocking access. You're watching for anomalies.
Exactly. The CERT Insider Threat Center at Carnegie Mellon has done extensive research on this. They found that most malicious insiders show observable behavioral changes, typically escalating data access, in the 30 days before they do something harmful. The patterns are there if you're looking. Bulk exports, mass printing, unusual access hours, access to data outside their normal scope.
Yeah, what about when someone is leaving? That seems like the highest risk window.
It is the highest risk window. The period between when an employee gives notice and when their access is actually revoked is when most insider data theft happens. We covered offboarding checklists in episode 57, but for insider threats specifically, the timing matters as much as the checklist. If someone is terminated or resigns under concerning circumstances, access should be cut during the termination meeting, before they go back to their desk. For standard departures, same-day revocation is the minimum. There are documented cases of law firm employees downloading entire client file repositories in the gap between giving notice and having their accounts disabled.
That gap could be days or weeks at some firms.
It often is, and that's the window where data walks out the door. Technical controls help here too. Data loss prevention tools that flag or block sensitive documents being sent to personal email accounts, USB drives, or cloud storage. Invisible watermarks in downloaded documents so you can trace the source if a file appears where it shouldn't. Session recording for anyone with admin level access.
Right. Now, I have to ask, there's a tension here between security and trust. You don't want to create a surveillance culture where everyone feels watched.
That tension is real, and getting the balance wrong is as damaging as the insider threat itself. An organization that monitors employees without trust will drive its best people out. The key is transparency and proportionality. Communicate that monitoring exists. Explain what it covers and why. Apply it equally. Executives get the same scrutiny as junior staff. Focus on anomalies, not individuals. The system flags unusual patterns, not specific people, and respond proportionally. If someone accidentally accessed the wrong case file out of curiosity, that's a training conversation, not a termination event.
It sounds like the cultural part is as important as the technical part.
It is. The best insider threat programs combine technical controls, least privilege, monitoring, DLP, with a culture where people understand the rules, know they apply equally, and have safe channels to report suspicious behavior without fear of retaliation. Neither side works alone.
Next episode, GDPR, PDPA, and data protection compliance. How all of these security controls translate into regulatory requirements across jurisdictions.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.